The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
At Bubble Genius, we know that it's a dog-eat-dog world, and sometimes all you've got is man's best friend. We know you'd do anything for your precious pup. When he's a good boy, you give him his favorite treat. When he's gotta go, you take him for a nice walk. When he destroys your favorite shoes, you scold him, lament, and go shoe shopping. And when he eats God knows what and his ass becomes a dirty, stinking mess, well, we've got your backside on that one. You know that we Bubble Geniuses make fun, awesome soaps for people, but did you also know that we make stuff for your best friend? We've got dog soaps, shampoos, and conditioners that'll clean your disgusting doggy in no time and leave him soft, cuddly, and smelling super. And we don't stop with the de-stinking there. We also make Kismet, our flea-repelling doggy perfume that leaves your pup smelling sweet and dreamy. Doggy kisses leaving you offended at your pup's palate? Turn those sour smooches to sweet with Kiss Me, our all-natural breath spray for dogs. Works wonders on humans, too. Pamper your precious pup with genius products and more at bubblegenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
This was me, Brian Butterfield, 6 months ago before starting my diet plan. But just look at me now. I feel like a new man thanks to the Butterfield diet. The results have been incredible. Okay, here's your weekday plan. Breakfast, 1 cornflake, toasted with low-fat spread. Drink, hot water. Lunch, small raw potato, peeled. Salad, mini lettuce leaf. Drink, room temperature water. Dinner, square of low-fat turkey breast. Baked bean in low-fat tomato sauce. Broccoli shavings, drink, chilled water. Pudding, ice cubes and artificial sweetener. Then, at the weekend, it's time for a reward. Saturday is treat day. For 24 hours, you can literally eat anything.
Pizza, birthday pie, pints of cream, pork cylinders, potato grids, artificial bacon, large macs.
You name it.
Sandwich casserole, chocolate quail's eggs, garlic pudding, fluffy ruffs, hoisin crispy owl, pasta pillows, bonbon bonbons, McFortune cookies.
It's up to you.
Discount foie gras, egg and ham slabs, during dinner mince, mystery meat, quiches Lorraine, 20 cheese omelette.
Anything goes. Just remember, you've only got 24 hours and not a second longer. Sunday is your rest day. These trousers are so loose. I think I may need to buy a new belt. The Butterfield Diet Plan. Order it exclusively online at www.butterfielddiet.com. Call now.
The voice of the world, the sound with the beat, the sound that sets you tapping your feet. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Oh, hi, it's July 10th, 2013, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob. That's Chez over there.
Yes.
Brought to you every week by BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius, the best bath and body products you will ever purchase in your entire days of your lives. That made no sense, but go buy now at Bubble Genius, full stop, COM. Brian Butterfield was in honor of the president's admission that he loves broccoli. Clearly, he's on the Butterfield diet plan.
Yes.
It's his favorite food. The president's favorite food is broccoli. Get over it. Hey, we're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. He's easily the best attorney I've ever dealt with, and I've dealt with a lot of attorneys, especially over the last four years.
You ever dealt with prosecuting attorneys? They're fun.
Fortunately, no. Charles is fast, smart. He knows how to communicate with his clients. Talks directly to you. Puts your mind at rest. Bowen Group offers commercial, banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, and medical malpractice law. Large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability. TheBowenLawGroup.com. Click the link on the blog right under the podcast. We're also brought to you by Dead Star Twilight, which is Chez's memoir. Go buy it at, through the Amazon link at BobSeska.com or at DeusExMalcontent.com. All right, so we had a week off, kind of an impromptu week off, which was kind of a relief because, I tell you what, I've been going practically around the clock on the NSA story.
You have, yes.
And I mean, I think I've done more tweeting in the last month.
You are insane. No, really, you are crazy. I was looking at you, and I know that I give you crap because you get in arguments with guys like Greenwald who are never going to listen.
Not anymore, but, though.
Well, that's true. Yeah, he blocked you. But, dude, like on July 4th, you spent the day arguing with somebody who has like 12 followers. Like, and you kept saying this. Were you drunk? You kept saying the same thing over and over again, like, you know, calling him out because he didn't have – he wasn't using his real name. And then you were arguing about the fact that apparently a tiki is a racist symbol.
I was going after him. I took the fight.
This is
to
the
him.
Kind of thing that we should probably save for the after party, because I know you and I are going to have differences of opinion on tiki being a racist symbol. I get that you live in Hawaii, but I'm a very big fan of tiki drinks and tiki culture here in Los Angeles, and quite frankly, just don't care.
Yeah, well, there's,
I
see,
don't
there's,
care who it upsets.
The difference is there's, and we're not going to talk about this. I want to clarify that there's a.
But you were very angry at this person for a whole
because
host of reasons.
Because yes, and what I wanted to do was not go back and forth about the same NSA information that I've repeated over and over again. What I wanted to do was
That's the problem. I get it. I spend the dog thing. The dog shooting. I spent days going back and forth with people saying the same thing over and over. I get that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so what I decided to do was take the fight to him, to take the initiative and just go after him on something. And in this case, you know, I mean, obviously, there's nothing wrong inherently with tiki culture or tiki statues or anything like that. Certainly one of our sponsors has tiki soap. The issue is really has more to do with, like, satirizing the tikis or making them look silly or cartoony or things like that. Okay. You know, that's sort of the co-opting of culture. Now, maybe racism was a bit too strong a word to use.
I would say that it, and you used it several times.
Yeah, but I
you
mean,
were
I
drinking
was,
that day.
It was I was
like
not. I did not drink until night. I did not. You know, I wait. You know, I wait until after six to start drinking. Invariably.
Wow.
But at that point, I was fired up because I just wanted to take the fight to him. I just wanted to throw this guy off balance.
You know, I can understand that. But I think because I don't have a ton of Twitter followers because I'm not a fan of Twitter. I'm not somebody who's on it all the time. I will talk to people sometimes, but I very rarely get into like big back and forth debate with people. I just feel like it's silly, but that's just me. But I do know that I will decide whether or not to speak to somebody a lot of times based on how many followers they have. Like I was watching Jim Norton today, the comic, get into it with somebody who literally had 10 followers and was an idiot, was just saying stupid things. And I mean, I get it. Sometimes it's fun to just, you know, it's fun to kick the dog. Yeah. Pardon my term, but you get the idea.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
it's fun to beat up on somebody who really can't fight back.
Well, in this case, I mean, this guy was spamming my timeline. It was basically, like 100 different tweets within a half an hour or something like that.
No, I definitely do. I've got an email stalker right now. Actually, she's been quiet for the past maybe 24 hours, but I've got somebody who's been just completely spamming me and spamming people who comment on, you know, on my blog. And yeah, and it sucks.
Yeah.
I do understand that sometimes you just want to really kick the crap out of them.
Yeah, and you just want to shut them down. You just want to shut them down, and you know, so that's what I did. That's what I did on 4th of July.
On the 4th of July.
Because
I really thought you were insane.
Yeah, I may have been. I may have lost my
spidunkle. I saw you either drunk or like in your basement with, you know, talking to Jerry Langford.
Well, part of it was that Joy actually had gone into work or something for the first half of the day. And so that's, you know, That's why I sat down at my computer and I started it. And I didn't seek this guy out to start fighting with him. It was just, it became unavoidable. And then at one point I actually blocked the guy, and then he sent Cody K, the Twitter person, Cody K with the boots, into kind of fight for him. Like, and then that started.
I never do that. I don't like Twitter enough as it is. So I wouldn't ask somebody else to, hey, you know, send messages to this person for me.
And I know that he's listening right now. This tiki guy is totally listening to the show right now.
Absolutely, one of those. I have quite a few of those people who just bitch up a storm. It's just incessant about how much they hate me, and it's like all I can think of is then why do you, you know, thank you for the hit.
Yeah.
Thank you for continuing to come back.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean it when I say, and I'm huge about this. I've said this since I started the blog. I'm like, go read something else. I'm happy to lose the hit. I'm happy to lose. You know, I've never been interested in being having broad appeal. My attitude has always been, you know what? If I mean, I'm not. You know, I obviously want dissent. I love dissent. I'm a huge fan of it. I like having healthy debate. But yeah, I mean, if you're just going to be a jackass, please just, you know what? Especially if you're reading just to hate. Seriously, man, just don't be a douche. Go someplace else.
Yeah, and these people were,
you will not be missed.
These people were actually digging through the archives of the blog. I mean, they actually went over to my studio website, Snark Rocket, and started to scour through my cartoons, which is a big mistake, because I'll tell you right now, I've done a crap load of offensive cartoons in my day. So, I mean, sure. Look, it's all out there. You want to use my cartoons against me? Go for it.
Yeah, well, you already know how I feel about that. It's pretty much an open book. Mm-hmm. You know, the easiest way to avoid all that kind of thing is to shoot the hostage.
Yeah.
And I've done that many, many times.
Right, right. Well, while you're at it, go look through Shel Silverstein's early work. Saint Shel. And you'll find some offensive things there, too.
Good.
You know, it's just the way it is. Anyway, so I guess that takes us into the NSA thing. And we didn't talk about it on the last show that we did, which was 2 weeks ago, because we had the 4th of July off. But 2 weeks ago, it was an NSA-free show, which was probably good. It was probably a good thing. But that leaves us with a bunch of news that we need to kind of recap on the story. And I guess we can start with the most recent news, which is that Greenwald has said that Snowden is likely going to go to Venezuela.
Yeah, that bastion of
right.
Bastion of human rights.
Yeah, Greenwald says that it's because Venezuela is, quote, stronger and richer than the other nations. Great. They also have a terrible human rights record. But Greenwald will readily admit, and of course all of his disciples subsequent to that, will say, well, they don't invade Iraq, or they don't torture detainees. Well, they do things that are far worse. I mean, they passed a media law that actually creates an internet hub, a government-run internet hub, through which all internet traffic is funneled. And then they passed a law saying you can't say anything derogatory about anyone in government or anyone in general. That's meant to defame them or to ruin their reputation. That's Venezuela. That's freedom of speech in Venezuela. By the way, Snowden, if he goes to Venezuela, will have his hands full with their three different intelligence services. They have three intelligence services. One is the SEBIN, the other is the DGIM, and the other is the General Counterintelligence Office. This is where Snowden is choosing to go in lieu of the United States.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they do. It matters what the professional, perpetually whining left thinks they do.
Yeah.
It matters what people like Oliver Stone think about Venezuela.
Yeah, we're going to talk.
That's the image that they painted, and that's what they're going by. It is not. It's not based on reality. It's based on an image. The bottom line is Venezuela would do anything to stick it to the United States, and there's no better way to do that than to welcome Snowden with open arms.
That's right. That's right. And it was as if Greenwald was really kind of just kissing ass.
Of course he was.
To Venezuela. Like, oh, you guys are so great. You guys are so great for taking Snowden. Here, I'm going to smooth away a little bit more for
The PR flack, as Daniel Serwer said. The PR flack, he continues his excellent work.
Yeah, that's right. Everything
that
Snowden
says. And that is all he's doing. You've said it. I've said it. That's all Greenwald's doing now. He's flacking for him. He is pushing his client. That's exactly what he's doing. You know, it's a sight to behold.
One of the biggest indicators of that observation is that new Snowden video, or as Greenwald called it, the sequel to Snowden's Hong Kong video, the interview
These huge, huge revelations that are so important to the United States and to the world that he is leaking piece by piece to get the most out of them.
And what's worse is, I don't know if it's worse, but it's as bad as the fact that this new Snowden video is literally edited more than Paula Deen's apology video. I mean, it's got like a flash cut practically between every sentence. I want to know if what this guy says is so critical to civil liberties and the Fourth Amendment, the Constitution of the United States. What is getting cut out of those videos? What do they have to cut?
It doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter because we're the ones who have the problem because we are concentrating on the unimportant things, like what's cut out. We're not concentrating on the stuff, the great stuff that Snowden is saying and the important stuff that Greenwald is bringing to us. We're distracted.
That's the deflection in their argument. You know, they throw this guy out here as the next. The next saint, and they canonize him in the media. They wheel him out on video. They use him as the source for everything. They hero worship him. They flack for him. And then as soon as you call that into question, why are you making this about Snowden?
Yep. And you know what the beautiful part about it is? Truly, it's that really outside of the political circles that we run in, mm-hmm. especially the liberal political circles, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a crap about Greenwald. Nobody gives a crap about Snowden. Most people think he's a traitor.
Yeah.
If you were to poll most Americans, they either think he's a traitor, or the ones who don't, the ones who aren't so conservative that they believe that, are the people who at least see that, look, you know what? Yeah, the government is up to some awful crap, but he's wrong. He went about this all wrong.
Well,
that is the way most people see it.
We know that we're sending our information to a corporate third party where it is, you know, where there's, you know, with our credit cards, for example, there are giant data clouds that are accessed by the marketing and PR wings of these giant Wall Street corporations. And then it's distributed all around, whether you opt in or opt out. Doesn't matter. These credit card companies can send your information to anybody. Anybody they choose to.
And then what you'll get back is yeah, but you know what? The credit card companies can't arrest you. Well, guess what? It's like reading this. Salon has been doing this series on the militarization of police forces in America, which admittedly, you know what? There are some police forces there are some police forces. The LAPD has been militarized for years, for decades. That's why it's the way it is. That's why it's had the problems that it's had. Mm-hmm. But it keeps running these excerpts from this book, Radley Berko book, and it's just a series of anecdotes, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, you know what, in the 8 bazillion people and I'm not defending the cops here, but in the 8 bazillion people that the cops deal with every day, there are always going to be people who get screwed up. Make huge mistakes, and they absolutely deserve to pay for it.
Sure.
But, you know, anybody can sit and tell stories about outliers, about things that happen that are freaking terrible.
Yeah.
You know, violations of people's privacy and violations of their civil rights and their human rights here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But as a rule, there are things in place to stop that. They don't always work, but they work a very, very large percentage of the time.
That's right. Hey, we got a break. Back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Yeah, we're going to play that Oliver Stone tape in the after party. Because, I mean, it seems like everything that's being said in opposition, or in, I should say, in support of Snowden and opposition to the NSA. All sounds like it's scripted by Glenn Greenwald. It's really remarkable. And it's kind of, and that's, and Oliver Stone released it.
I always do this every time I know that I screw something up. It's Radley Balco, and so I apologize for getting his name wrong. My fault.
But yeah, so we're going to be talking about the Oliver Stone thing on the after party. We'll get to that. What else do we have here? Just the things that sort of flew past over the last couple of weeks.
Chemtrails.
Trilateral commission.
Speaking of things that flew past.
I'm telling you. The left is, I mean, the pro-Snowden left is like the Greenwald left. They're this close to chemtrails.
They've looped back around and they've met, you know, we have met the enemy. Mm-hmm. They've looped back around and met up with the people on the far right. They are the same group.
Yeah. Because now it's, now what the NSA, what the NSA story has told them is that the NSA can spy on you anytime they want. They can just go in and follow you around and record, as Edward Snowden said in his most recent sequel video, they can record every creative thought you have.
Yes, they are the precogs.
Right. And what's hilarious is there's a meme going around, and I think it's it's meant in an unironic way. Of, you know, it's the same picture of Edward Snowden that we've been looking at for the last month, with the text of that quote, how he doesn't want it to be possible in the United States to record all of your creative thoughts and information about your family, etc. And that meme is going around on Facebook.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I've already seen that. Yeah, and it's fun to watch people comment on that. Like, you know, this, I don't want to live in a world where everything that I do is recorded, blah, blah, blah. And it's like a friend of mine took a picture of it, put it up, you know, a friend of his put it up, and he commented on it. So he took a picture of both and put it on his Facebook page. It's like the irony of you posting that to Facebook. Yeah. You just don't see it, do you?
Right. Right. The irony of the actual video of Snowden being posted on the internet.
Right. And the argument will be, well, that was my choice. And that's fine, except that your choice, what you're relinquishing inadvertently, or what you're choosing to relinquish, mm-hmm. makes you what you're relinquishing inadvertently basically means that you have no idea what's going on. Yeah. If you make a comment like that, because there is stuff, as you pointed out, there is stuff that is that's there's so much more that's out there that's in the hands of corporations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're relinquishing your expectation of privacy.
Right. And if you don't think that you're relinquishing it, you're stupid.
That's right.
And if you're agreeing to it, then you're a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. And we're clearly Obama-bot apologists for saying this, which is also hilarious. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing about all of this, is that corporations, which I thought corporations were supposed to be the enemy of the left, has everything. I mean, I in very much a tongue-in-cheek way, as part of my NSA fact guide that I posted today, my surveillance primer on the Daily Banter, I included that picture of Greenwald typing on his laptop, knowing full well that that's going out over the internet, that it's sluicing through various corporate servers and corporate gateways through the internet. He's using an operating system that's owned by one of the corporations that distributes its information into the PRISM database. It's just hilarious to me. It's hilarious to me. We give up far more information to these people than NSA ever will have. There's a complete lack of understanding in terms of what's actually being done too. And it's, you know, and I've read a couple of books about NSA and about surveillance and things like that, and it's not easy to absorb. I mean, it's really, when I was writing my thing for the Daily Banter today, I really had to kind of go back through and double check, and I, in the process, I actually learned a few things too.
Snowden, I don't give a crap what anybody says. Snowden is a hell of a character.
Yeah, he really is. And
he does his thought processes, his psychology absolutely enters into this.
Yes. Yes, because he's being hero-worshipped on the left. It's like you can't talk about this story without talking about Snowden and Snowden's motivations. It's all part of the big chunk. And that's what's sad about it, ultimately. And this is probably a good way to wrap up this conversation about NSA today, is the sad thing is that Snowden's behavior, Greenwald's reporting of Snowden's behavior, has completely sidetracked what they sought out to do. I mean, the debate really should have been about, you know, NSA, checking the NSA's power. Really, the centerpiece of it is the FISA court, which is a mess. Reforming the FISA court should have been the heart and soul of the conversation. But instead, it's a lot of hyperbole and scare words and link bait.
Right. Well, it's, you know, as I said from the very beginning, you have no choice but to be suspect of anything that Greenwald reports. Mm-hmm. Because, at least when it comes to this kind of thing, for a number of reasons. And one of which is, you know, when he reports something that is a quote-unquote bombshell that just so happens to confirm every single bias and predisposition he has, every single thing he's been writing about for the past, you know, relentlessly for the past, what, four or five years?
Yeah.
You have to eye that with suspicion, especially when you also know that Greenwald has a very, very bad habit of overlooking facts that don't matter to him.
Right.
Of fudging, of, you know, basically throwing BS out there. Of, you know, of essentially attacking the living crap out of those who dare to argue with him, even people who argue with him based, you know, argue with him in good faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you have no choice. You have to consider the source on this.
I mean, one of the reasons why I wrote what I wrote today, as far as this NSA surveillance primer, is to kind of gather together all of this disparate information that we've been seeing coming from guys like Greenwald and put it all into one place. Because part of the tactic of Greenwald is to spread it all around in a way that leads to his personal conclusion. In other words, he doesn't want to put this together. He doesn't want to put content requiring an individual warrant right next to NSA collecting your data. You know, what
right.
he does is because, he'll put that all the
right,
way down.
Because he's not – he said – you know, Chait. I say no more.
Jonathan Chait. Yeah.
His piece on – his quickie piece, really in a short column, on the comparison between Greenwald and Nader is beautiful.
Is.
And, and Greenwald himself has said it. He approaches his journalism like a litigator. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with being an advocate. The problem is he doesn't have the other side of being a journalist to balance it out, which is that you do have a commitment to the truth. And you can't write with the idea of being of trying to prove a case. Mm-hmm. You can't, not when you're a real journalist. You have to be fair. You are supposed to be fair. Which means that you're not supposed to, yeah, you know what, I'm going to move this over here.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to, you know, that'll be helpful toward proving my case. You can't, you're not allowed to think that way, not as a journalist.
Part of the problem with all of this has been that other reporters, other media outlets, especially cable news, have approached Greenwald almost as, without knowing what his whole MO or what his history and baggage is composed of. So, consequently, they think that this must be just like another digital reporter, and he's got this scoop, and we better talk to him.
Right.
They don't
know who he is. They've never paid attention to him.
They don't go to his Twitter feed, and because Glenn actually hides it behind another click. You can't go to Glenn's Twitter feed and see all of his snarky, snotty responses to people. You know, who he has discussions with on Twitter, because he kind of has that thing on Twitter where you can either look at all of his tweets or just his original tweets.
Right.
It's like all or no responses, and he's got a default set to no responses. So they don't, you know, so no one knew what Greenwald was all about, and consequently he's given all of this credibility by these other news organizations, and that just sort of spreads like wildfire. And brings us to this point in time, which is just a complete sidetrack from what should have happened in the first place. It's really kind of sad. We got to take another break. We'll come back and talk more about other things right after this.
Mm-hmm.
That music always means bubblegenius.com. Now look, it's summertime, you're sweaty, you're, you know, you're stinky. What better way to clean off than with products that are created by independent women, liberals, vegans, who make the best damn soap in the world. It's bubblegenius.com. That's what it is. Go to bubblegenius.com and buy all of your bath and body products. Do it now. We'll have a promo code for you right after this.
At Bubble Genius, we know that it's a dog-eat-dog world, and sometimes all you've got is man's best friend. We know you'd do anything for your precious pup. When he's a good boy, you give him his favorite treat. When he's gotta go, you take him for a nice walk. When he destroys your favorite shoes, you scold him, lament, and go shoe shopping. And when he eats God knows what and his ass becomes a dirty, stinking mess, well, we've got your backside on that one. You know that we Bubble Geniuses make fun, awesome soaps for people, but did you also know that we make stuff for your best friend? We've got dog soaps, shampoos, and conditioners that'll clean your disgusting doggy in no time and leave him soft, cuddly, and smelling super. And we don't stop with the de-stinking there. We also make Kismet, our flea-repelling doggy perfume that leaves your pup smelling sweet and dreamy. Doggy kisses leaving you offended at your pup's palate? Turn those sour smooches to sweet with Kiss Me, our all-natural breath spray for dogs. Works wonders on humans, too. Pamper your precious pup with genius products and more at bubblegenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And, oh, by the way, you know that was Buzz Burbank right there. I just want to mention that we're now featuring Buzz Burbank news and comment podcasts on the blog at bobsesca.com. Also, the Daily Banter. And you want to listen to those because it's really going to be the best newscast you'll hear all day. And in addition, we're also this show, the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez show, is going to become part of buzzburbank.com. In addition to all of our other affiliates, we're also going to be carried at buzzburbank.com, which is really great. It just will expand the audience. Buzz used to be a news guy on the Mike O'Mara show, and he's left the Mike O'Mara show and he set out on his own. I'm good friends with Buzz. I was actually his intern at WJFK in Washington, D.C. when I was in college. And we remained friends, and we've sort of been looking for excuses to work with each other. And this is kind of a first step towards that. So we're happy to be partnered up with buzzburbank.com and just thrilled to have his news and comments on the blog. So you definitely want to check those out. They're about 10 minutes long, but it really is. It'll be the most informative newscast you'll hear all day. So your promo code for bubblegenius.com is Bob and Chez, BOBANDCHEZ. And you enter that in when you go to check out, and you get 15% off your whole order from bubblegenius.com. Huh, awesome. So there you go. The other thing we missed during the break was Cenk Uygur going after me on the Young Turks. He did like a 15-minute rant about something I wrote.
Good.
Where he doesn't necessarily respond to me. He responds to other people, and then he attributes those things to me. Which was not, which I thought was kind of, you know, look, I've been on.
Did you go on his show? I know you've been on his show, but did you go on his show?
No, I was not on the show. I was not even invited.
Basically bitched about you and didn't invite you on, even though he's had you on before.
Yeah, I've been on Cenk's show many, many times. And, you know, both his TV shows and his radio shows. And this
he has
time,
he has a radio show.
Yeah, it's on his...
Mushmouth has a radio show.
The Young Turks is on Sirius Satellite Radio.
Dear God.
The last I checked. I might be mistaken
about
that.
You know, I got to give Cenk credit, really. Because somebody who really has no business being a broadcaster, who can barely form a freaking sentence, is a broadcaster. And has created a very nice empire for himself by doing it. Good for him.
Well, I'm not going to go so far as to say that. I mean, I'd like to think that I'm friends with Cenk. You know, after that segment, it was like, what? He said some very nice things about me initially, and then he proceeded to spend like 10 minutes eviscerating my point of view on NSA, which is,
did he, as usual, I said this to Bob before the show started. Did he sound like he was ready to at any moment invite you out into the parking lot to Rochambeau you? Cause that was the impression that I always got when he was on, you know, I got so much crap when he left MSNBC because I wrote about it and I said, look, you know, I admire the guy in some ways and I think that he's done some really good stuff and he's definitely a smart guy and I don't think that his voice, meaning his opinions, are the kind of things that should not be presented at MSNBC. But yeah, look, I'm sorry, as a broadcaster, he was really unpolished. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and there's nothing technically wrong with that except that it's MSNBC, I'm sorry, and you know, I got so much crap for this because it's like, oh, well, that's why you're so corporate media. MSNBC is the big time. And you can't stumble over things and you can't just flail around like an idiot and be combative and scream and yell. You know, you have to at least get yourself focused a little bit. Mm. And he wasn't that. And he still isn't. He never has been.
Well, I mean, that aside, and we probably disagree on that a little bit. But look, I mean, the fact of the matter is he attributed things to me that I never said. Like, for example, he was implying that I was calling Snowden a traitor. Which I've never said. I've never said that. Right. And that's because you know why? Because that's not for me to decide. I'm trying to find out this guy's motivations. I'm trying to find out what kind of information he's releasing. Do we know it? Is it new? Is it really a bombshell? I'm trying to examine this from the perspective of putting all of this into perspective. In terms of how outraged should we really be about this?
Right.
You know, that's my whole thing. I don't really care if Snowden's a traitor or not. But the fact is that you know, you don't just lump me in with everyone else. I've said enough things about this story that there's plenty to respond to. That doesn't require conflating me with whoever else.
Hmm.
But anyway, so that was something you missed. If you actually want to see the segment, I wrote a response to it for the Daily Banter. Go to thedailybanter.com and in the search bar, just type in Cenk, C-E-N-K. Okay, so moving on. So Rand Paul has this ongoing racism problem.
Oh, what, the hiring white supremacists?
Well, yeah, this shouldn't come as a shock to anybody that a neo-Confederate states' rights tenther also has some iffy problems with not only being associated with racist people, but coming down on the wrong side of the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act. Once again, Rand Paul, who we should stand with because he's principled on civil liberties, and we'll talk about his stance on civil liberties in a second. But he co-wrote the guy who co-wrote his book is this complete and total white supremacist. The man who co-wrote Senator Rand Paul's 2011 book and currently serves as an aide to the Kentucky Republican reportedly spent years in the 1990s and 2000s as a pro-secessionist activist and radio shock jock. According to
of course, they're all radio shock jocks.
Yes, that's exactly right.
They all started as morning zoo DJs.
Yeah. According to conservative news site The Washington Free Beacon, Jack Hunter, who currently serves as the senator's new media director, spent his part of his 20s as a member of the League of the South, a group which, quote, advocates the secession and subsequent independence of the southern states from this forced union and the formation of a southern republic.
Good. I totally back this guy. I agree completely. I couldn't agree more that the South should secede again.
From 1999 to 2012, Hunter was a South Carolina radio shock jock known as the Southern Avenger. That was the nickname I was looking for. He has weighed in on issues such as racial pride and Hispanic immigration and stated his support for the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln. Well, there you go. Nothing like keeping it timely.
Right.
I'm in favor of President Lincoln being assassinated. Maybe someone will take care of that for me. During public appearances, Hunter often wore a mask on which was printed a Confederate flag. He wore a mask? What, like a gimp leather hood? What's the mask?
White hood.
It was a white hood. That's right. That's right. We got to take one last break. Back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
And as I said, this is not the first first brush with racism that Rand Paul has been responsible for. If you remember, his one of his spokesmen, Christopher Hightower, had to resign in 2009 over racist content on his MySpace page. Never mind the fact that he still had a MySpace page in 2009.
Had I bailed from two? I don't know. Had I bailed? Yeah, I had.
I was never. I'm proud to say. I you know what? I actually did have a MySpace page.
I had a MySpace page. I missed those once in a while. They were at least more, you know, you could add more personality to them.
Yeah. I never actually used it for anything. I think I just started it, and then I didn't do anything with it.
I still, oh, God, don't even get me started. I actually think, whatever. It's after party stuff.
Okay. All right. Also, Rand Paul came out against the Civil Rights Act. Again, he and his spokesman are, like, totally timely. This was in an interview with Rachel Maddow. I mean, it was famous. He totally bungled it. And he goes on shows like Glenn Beck and things like that. And, you know, we know what all this is about. He's a Tea Party guy. He's a states' rights Tea Party guy who kind of wraps himself occasionally in the civil liberties flag.
Yeah. And the fact that he's embraced for that by certain members of the left, to me, prove something that I've been talking about for so long, which is that I think our media culture has just fractured us all down to the smallest possible niches. You know, I mean, we're no longer willing to look at the big picture. We just look at what makes us happy or what makes us not happy, and we go from there. Mm-hmm. I think that's why there are people who can overlook the totality of Rand Paul and just say, oh, but he's with me on this. And for that brief amount of time, for when your attention span is tingling over Rand Paul for that amount of time, that's perfect. That's all you need.
Yeah, well, that's what he's doing. I mean, it's all calculated. I mean, all of this civil liberty stuff that he flirts with, it's calculated as a gateway to win further support for his really, truly heinous positions. You know, tell me.
And we forget. And we'll forget. We'll forget in no time.
Tell me more, Rand Paul, about NSA, you civil libertarian, you, when you actually, you're one of the most staunch anti-abortion radicals in the United States Senate. I'd like to know how Rand Paul feels about transvaginal ultrasound laws. I'd like someone to ask him, because I don't know. But considering the fact that he's an extremist on abortion and choice and reproductive rights, it's very likely that he supports all of these ridiculous ultrasound laws.
Right. And his dad was insane.
His dad
remains insane.
Go to ronpaulnetwork.com.
Unbelievable. Count every time Ron Paul shows up, any interview with him, anything that mentions him, I there's nothing I enjoy more than counting the seconds, and it's never minutes, it's always seconds. The seconds or the words before liberty comes up.
That's right.
It's just count them. I mean, I heard an interview with him the other day because for something I may write about at some point. And it's like the guy introduced him and I just went 1, 2, 3, 4 seconds. That's it. Liberty.
Right.
Hoo-ha, cherry soda.
He's crazy. He's queer. Put a hit on me. The Pauls are so open-minded. Except for the gay thing, except for the abortion thing, they're just totally on board with everything else, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Well, good luck. Good luck with civil liberties if you're going to support Ron Paul. Edward Snowden voted for Ron Paul, I think, twice. Oh, God. So that leads us to this the couple of different laws that were passed this week. I mean, really, there have been, in the first 6 months of this year, state legislatures have enacted 106 provisions related to reproductive health and rights. That's according to the Guttmacher Institute.
But it's all about the economy.
Sure.
If you let the Republicans take over, it's what they care about most. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Yeah, it's not taxed enough already. It's taxed enough. Abortion! That's what T stands for.
That's what they're right. That's what the jobs are. The jobs are making those little transducer things. Crap load of factories opening up for those. Get in line now, kids.
Isn't the Wisconsin law a peach? They actually give women the option. They say, oh, well, you can choose this. You can choose between either the external ultrasound with the goop and the paddle thing, or you can have the transvaginal transducer.
Or you can be raped.
Yeah.
Here's your choice. Get a little dirty. Here's it. Here's the choice. Here's the choice, ladies. We can do it. I can do it. What, you know how I'm going to finish? I can do it on you or in you.
Oh, God.
How do you want me to finish? I can do it on your stomach.
Oh, my God.
Don't you dare edit that out. Because that's exactly what it is, though.
I've never heard it put that way, but good Lord. I mean, it's really, I mean, you want to talk about the height of misogyny. This Wisconsin law, basically what the Wisconsin law does, and we'll get to Texas in a second. The Wisconsin law essentially will close two of the four abortion clinics in the state of Wisconsin. Because what it does is it says that the abortion doctors have to have admitting privileges at a hospital that's located within 30 miles. It's calculated that way. 30 miles of a hospital. So, and they, knowing that two of the abortion clinics, there's not a hospital within 30 miles.
It's like 31 miles.
Yeah, it's 30.5 miles.
Yeah. It's the TMZ, the 30-mile zone.
That's right. That's right. And then in addition to that,
Harvey Levin is behind this. And you know what? And it is misogyny. Mm-hmm. Misogyny has become a word. I'm very careful of language. And misogyny has become a word that we throw around now. Because everybody, you know, another one of those things in our media culture that I despise is everybody has to make their point, and their point has to be viscerally made. So because of that, we use the strongest language possible when we talk. You know, there is a difference between sexism and misogyny, and there's a lot of sexism out there. But misogyny is just shows an absolute hatred of women and their rights.
Yeah.
And that's what this is.
Well, that's what this is. I mean, basically what it's saying is women are incapable of deciding for themselves. So we're gonna lecture them, complete with visual aids, about what's growing inside their body. So here, let us do an unnecessary medical procedure upon you, and then, you know, sort of in a third party kind of disconnected way, we're gonna lecture you.
From a boyfriend point of view, if you told me that there was some guy somewhere who was going to stick something in my girlfriend that she hadn't asked for, under normal circumstances, that guy gets the shit beat out of him. That's my job. Not job, but that's my response. Mm-hmm. My response is, oh, I'm sorry, you're going to do what? I'm going to kill you. And yet, somehow these idiots can make this legal, make this a matter of policy.
Yes. Small government Republicans. Scott Walker, who's like the Tea Party governor. You want a spokesman for the Tea Party, a poster boy for the Tea Party? It's Scott Walker. And he signed this bill. In fact, went so far as to say that he doesn't have any problem with ultrasound.
Of course he doesn't.
He doesn't, no. But, you know, he ought to be careful what he doesn't have a problem with. Because there are a bunch of laws being introduced all around that are equally heinous against guys. I mean, they're all kind of laws that or acts, bills that are intended to make a point. But you never know. One might pop its way through. Oklahoma Senator Constance Johnson, also a Democrat, proposed a spilled semen amendment to her state's fetal personhood bill that would declare it an act against unborn children for men to waste sperm.
I'm all for that.
Illinois State Senator Representative
that
Kelly
Cassidy. That would help
Cassidy.
Me to cut down.
Yeah.
That would force me by law to cut down on what I spend most of my days doing.
Illinois State Representative Kelly Cassidy, another Democrat, introduced an amendment to a state mandatory ultrasound bill that would require men to watch a graphic video about Viagra's side effects before being able to receive a prescription for it. A bill filed by Virginia State Senator Janet Howell would require men to obtain a rectal exam before obtaining such a prescription. Medically unnecessary. Or in that case, it might be medically more necessary than having a transvaginal ultrasound. Just staggering. This is like, oh, you know what? You're not smart enough or moral enough to make this decision on your own. Here, let me show you something, and then you can think about it a little more. Here, I'm Scott Walker, and I'm here to help.
Yeah. They should just go ahead and make the transducer in the shape of a cross.
Good Lord. Well, that's next.
Yeah.
That's absolutely next. So, and in Texas...
Jesus wants you to see something.
In Texas, that anti-abortion bill that was filibustered famously a couple of weeks ago was just passed again by the Texas House. It's headed back to the Senate, where it's going to be debated and passed in committee, invariably. And then it's going to head to the Senate floor.
And then it's all going to start all over. And it's going to continue. It's going to keep happening until it passes.
My question is...
The beatings will continue until morale improves.
I don't know enough about the Texas State Senate to make a call on this, but at one point, didn't the Democratic members of the Texas Senate actually go to New Mexico or something to avoid, to stop a vote? I mean, isn't it possible that all of the... Because don't you need a certain
I remember the legislators who ran out to, like, Oklahoma.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. But
yeah,
I mean,
because I think they were being redistricted.
And you need a certain number of senators participating in the vote in order to have a vote.
Yeah, they were in a hotel. They were in, like, a motel in Mexico or something.
Yeah.
Or not Mexico, in Oklahoma.
Yeah. So they completely bailed out of Texas entirely. I mean, they could actually do that again, I think.
Where they were probably killed by tornadoes.
I'm talking about this right off the top of my head, so I could be totally wrong on some of this information, but I seem to recall something similar to that occurring. And that's a possible workaround. It's a possible way to block this thing. But, you know, I think they're going to come at another filibuster. I mean, if in lieu of that, they're going to do another filibuster. They're going to try it all over again.
They're going to have to. Yeah. They don't have a choice.
Yeah. I mean, and I think if from not only the perspective of blocking the bill, but also from the perspective of, boy, Wendy Davis got a lot of support.
Right.
And it would be a shame if she backed down now. That would disappoint a lot of people who were really standing with her and so
that
on.
That really, God, that's got to suck for her, though, the responsibility.
Yeah.
It's like now she's stuck.
Right. Right.
Now she's like, oh, great, I got to stand again. Every 3 weeks, I'm going to have to stand up like that.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that Rick Perry is not running for a re-election.
That's because he thinks he's going to go on to the White House, when he is sorely mistaken on that.
He's totally mistaken. There's no way in hell.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Boy, would I love to see that campaign. Hillary Clinton, I hope, versus Rick Perry. That'd be fun. That'd be fun to watch. And by the way, Ted Nugent, I don't know if you saw this, Chess. Ted Nugent is thinking about running for president.
I did see that. Did you see you should retweet me because I need the viewers on the blog. But yeah, I wrote something about gun control today. I put it up on my blog. Basically, the quote of the day when it comes to gun control is from what the hell's his name? Connor. Why can I not remember his freaking name?
Connor Freakenstein.
Colin, pardon me. No, Colin Goddard, pardon me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a guy. He's a kid who was shot 4 times.
Oh, right.
At Virginia Tech. And that zombie industries company that makes those bleeding zombie mannequin targets,
uh-huh.
they have made one, and it's called the Gun Control Lobbyist. And his picture is used in it. And he's just like, you know, he's like, you know what? I've already been... He, literally, he said, I've already been shot ass.
Ugh. That is unbelievable. These people are shameless.
But that's... You need to go over to that deusexmalcontent.com and read what my take on it is, that it's like the way to finally shut these people up. The way to finally put these people in their place. Because they're above shame. They're above shame. You can't reason with them. You can't ask them to be human and decent. So there's really only one thing to do at this point, and that's basically to speak to them in the language that they understand, and that was sort of where I went with my piece. I'll leave it at that.
By the way, you might need an update for your piece, because I don't know if you saw this story right before we started the show, but that gun nut, Adam Kokesh,
yeah,
charged with possession of shrooms.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
An actual thing.
A tripping guy with a gun. I did so many shrooms, it never made me violent. Never. How can you do shrooms and be a violent person?
Yeah. Maybe that explains why a lot of gun fanatics are mistaking their firearm for their genitals. Maybe they're actually hallucinating. Maybe they actually look at their gun and it takes the form of their wieners.
Could be.
Yeah. Who knows? Just a theory. All right. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. The after party is tomorrow. Subscribe, why don't you? Take care. Bye-bye.